This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This afternoon, a conversation with State Representative Cedric Hayden. I want to focus on a ballot proposal that is out. Representative Hayden, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be on with you, Kyle. I appreciate that. It's been a little while since we've touched base, but yeah, things are moving forward as always in Salem. When we're out of session, people don't hear as much about it, but there's always policy being prepared, and this ballot measure stems from a 2019 I put together a package with some of my colleagues of about five bills that we wanted to look into the future and say, you know, this economy at some point is going to turn on us, and particularly for seniors, a recession, the ones that are on fixed income in particular, can be pretty daunting. And so in 2019, I put this before the legislature to get a vote from the legislature to send to the ballot, and that concept was rejected. And so here in Oregon, we have an initiative process. That means if enough people support this through signature process, signature gathering process, that we can send it to the ballot from that aspect or that approach. And so that's what we're gearing up to do.
And the kind of information about filing the measure came out a few days ago. You've got three other lawmakers, and it's Initiative Petition 10. So talk about kind of where the process is at right now and some of the steps going through this.
So the process or the concept has been around. Like I said, I filed it in 2019, so it's been around, you know, a few years, but it hasn't moved forward. And so taking the opportunity to organize this through the initiative process, I have been joined by three other lawmakers to get this on the ballot, and then I'm the director of the PAC, which means, you know, kind of behind the scenes organizing that. And so what the process is to go out and get 1,000 signatures from folks and turn those into the Secretary of State and say, hey, here's the concept. Here's the ballot measure that we want. And we give them proposed language for that. And then they look at that and it goes back and forth. And they come up with a ballot title. And so you get qualified to go through that process through initial collection of a smaller amount of signatures. And keep in mind, this is for 2024. This wouldn't be for this upcoming election in November. So there will be time to go through this process. And once you get a ballot title, then you can go out and start collecting signatures. And it's going to be around 150,000, maybe 170,000. In reality, that probably means 180,000 to 190,000 signatures collected to have enough valid ones for this to qualify for the ballot. And so that's the process. Basically a two-year process ahead of us to try and get this to voters. And, you know, this process isn't the legislature deciding it. This is a process to where if enough people support it through signature gathering, then the people of the state would decide it.
So this is a idea that would freeze the property tax assessment of a primary residence in the tax year in which the senior homeowner reaches age 65. Where did the idea come from?
So the idea comes from, you know, Oregon is one of the more expensive states. If you look at a lot of different ways that we tax folks, you know, we are heavily shifted towards a tax on your income or your payroll tax. But once you start taking a deeper look at that, and you start looking at the you know, what we call the CAT tax or commercial activity tax and our gas taxes and, you know, all the fees. Oregon, you know, depending on the survey that you look at, but we're definitely in the top 10 states in some surveys, or some have us in the top five states of tax burden. So we're, you know, on the high, definitely on the higher end of taxes for individuals in this state compared to other states. And then when you look at it from the aspect of seniors, particularly those that are on a fixed income, you know, the problem is that some of our seniors are not able to manage that and keep their homes. And so I think as a whole for our economy and our community, it would be better to want to attract those seniors to stay in our communities. And I think we'll benefit overall from that, being able to be an attractive place where people can come to Oregon or stay in Oregon, and they have a budget. And so the idea is just to stabilize for these folks that turn 65 for their primary. This isn't investment properties. This is the home that they actually live in. And it would lock in that property tax once they turn 65. And the counties that would collect that would still go through the process of evaluating what their property taxes were. And in the future, when they were to sell their home and somebody else came into that home or family, you know, younger generation took that home over, and then it would come up to what that amount would have been or, you know, increased over that period of time. And so it doesn't really change the tax structure. It just delays any increases for those seniors that would be in that home until they don't need that anymore.
And do you feel like this would make Oregon a more attractive place for folks to retire to if they're in another state currently?
Yeah, I believe it would. Oregon is one of the more expensive states for seniors to retire in, just the way that we have our tax structure, and we're not competitive with other states that make it more affordable for them to retire in. So this is a way that we can say, hey, if you're in Oregon, we want to keep you in your home. And there's, you know, a lot to be said about if we have, and we do have programs for keeping people in their own home. We know that, you know, somebody that stays in their own home is more affordable for them, and it's more affordable for the state too. And so there's that aspect of this, but our primary focus is saying, hey, you know, you've paid your fair share. You've paid your dues to society. You have a home. You've been able to put this nest egg together. You've got, you know, in many cases, a fixed income. We want to say to you that, you know, that's going to be your tax burden until you don't need that home anymore. And I think that would be attractive to other people that are deciding where to retire at.
Now, let's look at it from the other side. While you're saving these folks money, what about the impact on state coffers? I mean, if this begins with somebody 65, then they could be saving on property taxes for 20 years. All of that would add up in lost income. How will that work out?
Well, there is that aspect of it that's yet to be seen, whether that adds up in lost income for the counties particularly or not. But I think as a whole that we can recoup that by having, you know, more people stay in our communities rather than having to move out of the communities, and making Oregon a more attractive place for folks to retire at. So I believe that it would be made up on that, but there would be some effect, particularly at the county level, for that tax base to be frozen for the period of time. But again, our primary concern is making sure that the residents or the individuals, the seniors in Oregon, have an affordable way to stay in their own home. And so that's my primary concern.
Now, have you encountered any other states that have a program like this currently?
I'm not aware of any. And in 2019, we did look for, you know, when we create legislation, we do look for other states so we can see, you know, how's that program going? How's it working? During our research during that time, I didn't come across any that have it. So it's kind of an original concept. Now, somebody could prove me wrong. Maybe we didn't find, you know, all the options out there and the variations of how people do their taxing, because we do have, lots of states do have different takes on this type of programs that they have out there for individuals with disabilities and some veterans programs and whatnot out there for folks. But none of them that I'm aware of have something that says, you know, once you've reached the age of 65 for your primary residence, we want to lock that in for you. And not being able to get any traction with the Oregon legislature to move this forward, this would have to go to the people, which would be, you know, an amendment to the Constitution.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More on the proposal when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. State Representative Cedric Hayden on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio later today. On Inside Douglas County tomorrow, former Democratic State Senator, now non-affiliated candidate for governor, Betsy Johnson, will be back on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Cedric Hayden on with us now, talking about a proposal heading out to get support and seeking to ultimately get on the 2024 ballot to freeze the property tax of a primary resident, primary residence, in the tax year in which a senior homeowner reaches age 65. We're going through a lot of different aspects of this. One of those is the fact that you made this just on the primary residence and not if folks happen to have investment property or rentals or anything like that. How did you make that differentiation?
So we want to target for the individuals that we believe will benefit the most from this. And so if you own like a fourplex, let's say that you have a fourplex and you're turning 65 and you and your partner or spouse live in one of those units, then it would only apply to that unit. If you have rental income coming from other investment properties, we're not saying that there would be a tax freeze. And keep in mind, this isn't, you know, doing away with the property taxes from the county budgeting level. It's just saying it's going to lock it in at this level for them, right? Rather than whatever the county does on their assessments and their increases. So it locks it in, so they still have that zero budget effect from those senior homes. But we're not looking to benefit, you know, investors that have multiple properties that turn 65. That would be a much bigger package and something that we're not looking to do in this. This is only the primary, not a vacation home, not second home, not the homes that folks own for other purposes or homes that somebody 65 that the children live in or whatever. Those would not be included in this proposal. The homeowner has to, one of the homeowners there, you know, in a couple situation has to be 65. The other could be under 65. But when one of the principal homeowners that actually owns the home turns 65, then it would lock in their property tax for that property as long as they need that property. But it wouldn't be any other additional properties.
Now, this didn't get through the legislature in 2019, and I'm curious now that you're bringing it back, what kind of reaction you've heard in the last several days?
Interestingly, many of my colleagues have contacted me on this. I've had constituents, very supportive. We're getting phone calls on it, and folks just, you know, friends and neighbors saying, hey, you know, that's a great idea, you know, particularly the senior population. But I haven't heard anything official back because this is, or from my colleagues back, because this is very new in the process as far as, you know, getting qualified. However, I will say that I have been, you know, a PAC director for ballot measure before and have put a petition on, you know, initiative petition or referral to the ballot before, which we collected around 150,000 signatures for that. So I've been through this process. I'm fairly familiar with how the process works, and I believe that we have a good chance of being successful the way that we've timed this out, and those that are kind of inside the bubble, once they, you know, realize what's happening here, I think they will take that seriously.
Now, I would imagine for 2024, if it gets to the ballot, that would be in the fall election. When would it go into effect?
So it wouldn't go into effect until the following tax, right? So if it's April 15th,
is when the basically your property tax is due, and so it wouldn't go in effect until. So there's a lot of assumptions here, but let's assume that it gets on the ballot. Let's assume that it goes before voters. November 2024 election is when this is targeted to be on the ballot, and let's assume then. So we made several assumptions here. That the voters of Oregon say, yeah, we think seniors have paid their fair share, and we think that that is a reasonable approach. And by the way, back in 2019, when we were doing the research, you know, for kind of a affordable housing package of bills that we put together, we did poll this, and 79% in 2019, and I know poll numbers change, supported this concept. So if it gets to that point and voters do approve it, then they would be looking at that tax relief on the following. This wouldn't be retroactive. So the following assessment on their April 15th tax assessment for 2025.
So a lot of work in this. What types of things are you involved in this summer with it?
So right now we're involved with coordinating with a couple of my colleagues on this, but basically working with the Secretary of State, getting all of the legal stuff, if you will, set up in order to do this. So once we and we have turned that in the day that we did a press release on it. And so now it's going out and gathering those initial signatures. So I'm involved in the process to help that happen. And that can be done a number of ways. We, at this point, aren't looking at hiring signature gatherers for the initial step of this, and likely won't hire them in the future, but we'll just have to see how that goes. There is a process that allows you to hire signature gatherers to do this, although that costs money. So we try and do that, you know, just through volunteers. And so I'm involved with the process of organizing that, getting everything set up, and here within a couple of weeks, we'll start collecting those signatures and then tallying those up and going, comparing those to the voter rolls to make sure that they're what's called a valid signature.
Well, a lot there. We've got a couple of minutes left. Other things that you want to hit in terms of projects that you're working on legislatively?
Yeah, just one thing that's looking backwards on some legislation that we've done. Again, this is something that was to the benefit of seniors or disabled residents. Just be aware that there is the opportunity through tenants' rights for air conditioning under this heat wave. The legislature set aside some money to provide that for folks. And I just mentioned that because Oregon, during this last really hot time, has had about 10 or reported 10 suspected deaths from heat. And so if you're, you know, if you're a tenant and you don't have air conditioning, there is an opportunity there to get some help with that. Other things going on that I want people to be aware of, which they are, with that heat come fire season. We probably will, you know, we don't have a lot of fires going on right now. We do have a few fires going on in Oregon. If you look at the acreage in Oregon and California, we're under 50,000 acres to date. But I think it's a delayed season, and I would, you know, just have folks prepared for that and be cautious.
All right. State Representative Cedric Hayden, a lot of things going on. And remind us again when legislative days take place.
So legislative days take place in November. So we'll be getting together to September and November. We'll be getting together to discuss policies like this.
All right. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for being on Inside Douglas County today.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside. Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.